like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late-night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning show, you love
to hate.
I get more nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that
coochie
for a
green?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous morning show.
Cut the cameras, I'm out
the f***ing camera. Good grief, what kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club with DJ Envy,
the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Good morning, Angela Yee. Good morning, Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
Pump day.
Good morning, guys.
I'm gonna be honest. I might be a little grumpy this morning.
Why is that?
Because I'm a Cancer and we're sensitive and emotional, and because I have a 2-year-old at home, and she was every bit of terrible too last night, boy.
Well, what'd she do?
Just crying, making mad noise when she's supposed to be in bed. I don't know what she was crying for. Why do they cry at 2? I don't know.
No, did she have a tummy ache or was she just pissed off? Did she see her show?
I think she wanted to sleep. She had a show. It's 10 o'clock at night.
Well, some of the kids watch cartoons.
I think she just wanted to sleep in the bed with us. You know how kids are. Sometimes they want to sleep in the bed with us.
Correct.
And then you got to make them sleep in the bed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to sleep in the bed with us and she was not feeling it. So she was making a lot of noise.
To what time?
Until I went and got her and put her in the bed with her.
Easy solution.
So why did you do that from the door?
I'm
not doing it tonight.
Cause
after that 30 minute, you're like, you know what?
Because kids don't sleep like how we sleep. Kids don't lay down on the pillow and cool out in one space. They kick and stretch and do yoga and act like they're playing Twister all night long.
Oh, it's the worst. It's the worst when you have your kids in your room. But why didn't you put her in the bed with her older sister?
I don't know. Her older sister need a good night's sleep.
Oh.
Yeah, I can get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and, you know, just be mad and come in here and curse everybody out.
Okay.
You know?
Nuh-uh.
Who not? Soon as I walked in, I cursed Steve.
You cursed the white guy
Steve
out?
Steve tried to touch my coat. Like, whoa, white man, this is not a contact sport. All right? Keep your hands to yourself.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Well, I had to record an episode of my lip service last night, and you know I'm doing my lip service live February 13th at Highline, and we have Bobby Lights on. He's Trina's cousin from Love and Hip Hop, and he said he has a little crush on you, Charlamagne.
Who?
His name is Bobby Lights.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Listen, man, I'm going to tell you something. The kids always love the kid. I'm going to let you know that right now. Hey, that ain't going to never change.
And he said he's a Scorpio and you're a Cancer. You guys would be very compatible.
Well, tell him I'm a married man. But, hey, man, it is what it is. I can't help it if these guys think I'm a nice trade out here.
But if you
drop one of Clue's bombs for the kids thinking I'm a nice trade.
But if he wasn't, right? you might give him a shot.
Listen, a bad guy like me doesn't turn down anybody who appreciates me, okay? Because I'm the bad guy. So when you're the bad guy, you have a lot of people that don't like you. So the people that do dig you, I embrace them. All right?
Well, it is hump day.
All right.
There ain't going to be no humping over here.
So, okay.
Think I won't scream me too if I get any unwanted humps. You better keep your hands to yourself. Just keep telling y'all this is a non-contact sport.
My goodness. All right. Well, this morning, Cypher Sounds will be joining us.
Oh.
Now, that's exciting for me because that's my first job in radio was as Cypher Sounds co-host on the Cypher Sounds Affected Sirius Satellite Radio.
Cypher used to be our competition
correct.
Here in New York. He used to be on another morning show on
but he's a
station.
Genuinely nice guy.
He is.
Yeah.
He is. He's just a nice person. He's not a negative anything about anyone, so that was tough for me.
And he's got a good story, too, though, because he's got a lot of hip-hop history.
A lot of history.
That I think people don't know about. A lot of artists that he's responsible for breaking that he doesn't get credit for. A lot of records that he played first that he doesn't get credit for. Mm-hmm. Been around a long time.
And correct. Now he's a comedian with a show on True TV. So shout out to Cypher Sounds.
The show comes on tonight, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's called Laugh Mob.
Laugh Mob, I believe.
Yeah, Laugh Mob. Comes on tonight. I forgot what time.
So we'll kick it with Cypher in a little bit. But front page news, what are we talking about?
Man, we are going to talk about this Kentucky school shooting students killed. We'll give you the information on what happened in Kentucky.
Okay, we'll get into all that and more. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. I ain't gonna lie, you know, for the last 2 weeks, when I get home, I just turn social media off, and I don't know what goes on until the morning.
I've been on that, brother.
It's amazing. When we wake up in the morning, you be like, wow, that happened?
And I don't even look at it until I get in here, because I'm not messing up the tone of my day when I wake up 5 in the morning.
Wow.
I wake up 5 in the morning, I pray, I meditate, I read my Joel Osteen Daily Affirmation, and I listen to Oprah Super Soul Podcast, goddammit.
I pray and listen to the news, but
I wake up in the morning, and I look at Baller Alert, and then I look at Shade Room. I just want to see what's happening.
I don't.
So
not
I can
like
come to work and be ready for this.
Okay, well.
You need to start setting the tone of your day better.
Congratulations to LeBron James. He made his 30,000 shot, right? Congratulations to him. His 30,000 point, I should say.
And right. I saw on social media that he actually wrote himself a letter knowing in anticipation that he was going to make that.
I didn't even know that happened. Why did he write himself a letter?
People were pissed off about the letter. It was his new self writing
his
young self.
So he put a picture of himself
when
he was young.
Congratulations, young king. You made 30,000 points.
That's not impressive.
He released it before he made his 30,000 points.
What's impressive would have been if his young self would have wrote that to his old self and said, congratulations on your 30,000 point. Now, that would have been impressive. That's some visionary stuff right there.
My goodness.
Well, congratulations to him. I think that's incredible.
Now, let's talk about some sad news. What happened in Kentucky?
Yes, in Kentucky, 16 people were wounded and 2 of them were killed after a shooter opened fire. Now, a 15-year-old male student was arrested at the scene. He will be charged with murder and attempted murder. They are saying that it's likely he will be charged as an adult, but his name won't be released unless he is indicted. They have identified the slain victims. Both of them were 15 years old, Bailey Holt and Preston Cope. Bailey died at the high school and Preston died at Vanderbilt University Medical Center in Nashville. So the suspect, armed with a handgun, walked into the school 8:57 a.m. and started shooting. They said the first 911 call was received 2 minutes later. The victims were between the ages of 14 and 18. And 14 of those victims were male. 6 of them were female.
So they're not going to release his name because he's a minor?
Well, until they indict him.
Oh.
You know, the sad part about it.
He's the suspect. Right now, he's the suspect until they...
If his last name was Muhammad, they'd have been had his name out, by the way.
No, the sad part about that, as a kid, you know, your parents teach you certain things. Like, if you're taking the bus, you put your bus pass in your front pocket. You put your money in your front pocket. But now I got to teach my daughter, if she hears a shooting in her high school, what she needs to do to get out of there. And that's crazy to me.
And imagine being a parent and trying to reach your student. One of them, Daniel Austin, he's a 17-year-old special needs student. He was hospitalized, and his parents just kept calling his cell phone until somebody in the emergency room actually picked up and told the parents that he was shot.
That's crazy. Yeah, some of those schools, I forgot where I was at, might have been somewhere in Jersey where they say they have training for school shootings.
Yeah,
like
they
used to have like a hurricane training for us or earthquake training. Mm-hmm. They have training for school shootings, which I thought was crazy when I heard it, but then I'm like,
this happens.
Sadly, I guess it's necessary.
No, it definitely is. You got to teach your daughter, you know, lock the classroom door, get low, or if you're outside, run behind a car, something that if a bullet does go through, it can't go through. You know, that's crazy.
I cannot remember,
teach my daughter that.
I can't remember where I heard this, but they say, like, it's one school where all the doors lock automatically and they have it to where you can walk in between classrooms without having to come out of the doors.
Yeah,
without having to walk through the door, we can just walk through classrooms. And they do that for school shootings.
Really?
Yeah, I forgot where that was at. Can't remember.
All right, well, that's front page news. Now, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night or bad morning. Or maybe you feel blessed. You want to spread some positivity. 800-585-1051. Hit us up right now. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Amber from Detroit.
Amber, what up, doe? Get it off your chest.
Hey, I just want to tell y'all I'm blessed. You know, life is going pretty good. I listen to y'all every day. I'm happy to get through. I have a question for Charlamagne, though.
What's up, baby? How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Do you ever think that you're going to let Chanel West Coast come on the show?
Yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't mind having Chanel.
Yeah, you know, so every now and then you got to bring a pinata in here and just hit on it. And
stop it, man.
And see if candy comes out of it.
Stop it, man. Yeah, she could come up here.
Y'all have a good day. Thanks.
You too.
Ain't nothing wrong having a little crash test dummy on the show every now and then. You know what I mean?
Hello, who's this?
What's up, Envy?
Hey, Trav. What's up, Trav?
What up, Trav?
Hey, Ye.
Hey, Boo.
What's up, Charlamagne?
What up, sis? How you?
Charlamagne's so crazy. So, look, I want to talk. I don't know if y'all seen this post that's, like, floating around about this woman that's trying to get everybody to boycott Walmart because they lock the black hair care products up and they keep all the white hair care products out.
No, I didn't see that.
I mean, that's as sad as that is kind of funny. I'm not going to be. I'm not
that's not funny, man.
And I want to say, because I'm pretty sure right now it's starting to go viral. So I'm pretty sure y'all going to see it within, like, the next couple of days.
I never noticed that. What Walmart
well,
is
yeah,
this
what
and
what black hair care products are you using?
That's true. You ain't
got no, but like, she actually said, there's a video. Like, she shows, like, her and the Walmart guy getting into it, like he did something. Because, like, on one side of the case, it's, like, all the hair care products geared towards white people are all sitting out. And then when she goes to the other side, behind a glass case, like, literally all the black hair care products are locked up behind the case. And I'm trying to tell
you. Okay, I just found it. It's on WorldStar.
But they do lock up the things that are the most stolen things in the store, regardless of what
they are. And I was about to say, because... be stealing.
Lord
now,
have mercy.
Trav, so you think this is okay?
Because baby food, they lock up baby food all the time, and that pisses me off. I got to go get a keto. Go get.
When I was younger, I can tell you that it depends where the Walmart is. Because the Walmart in Philly, they lock up all the condoms and lube. Because people be stealing.
Go ahead, Trav.
Yeah.
So
should I blame that on gay people?
Oh, God.
Should I blame that on the bottoms of the world?
You little kinky.
All you little thieving bottoms stealing all the lube and the condoms.
Trav, you just exposed yourself for stealing
all
lube.
All you little thieving bottoms in Philly. Boy, bottoms in Philly be stealing.
Goodbye.
Get it off your chest or get it out your butt. All right. 800-585-1051. If you need to get some things off your chest, call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Shout out to Trav. I love you.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're man or black.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, man, this is Reckless TV. I got two things I want to talk about.
Go ahead, Steve.
Don't bet against the Patriots. I'm telling you. They're going to give it to Tom Brady. He's 40 years old. He'd have been there, what, how many times? Eight. And him and Trump are president and Trump are friends. They're gonna give it to him.
Let me tell you something, sir. Let me tell you something about those Patriots. Now, I respect the Patriots, but I will scream F the Patriots to the high heavens. The Patriots have not been given nothing. I mean, do we not remember last year's Super Bowl?
Now, they work hard.
Right. Like, come on, right. Stop.
They deserve it.
They're gonna go out there and take it.
Also, too, like, with the Kentucky shooting, I'm mad at my coworkers because they was like, teachers should start carrying guns to school. Do y'all believe in that?
Yes.
Let me think.
And no, I'll say this.
That's a good conversation.
No, I'm gonna tell you something. I don't know if teachers should have guns, but schools should have armed security. That's right. I think.
But the problem with that is they'll say it's too expensive. They can't really afford to pay teachers. But I do think that...
They're not paying teachers now.
I know, but they're not going to be able to pay security. But I do think that maybe a vice principal or a principal should take a class where they need to have a pistol. They should have some type of armed person.
My mom was a school...
We have officers around the school. So
man, them resource officers don't got no guns.
They're real police down here. Where I'm from is real police walking around.
I don't think there's anything wrong with having armed security in the school. I mean, we got armed security everywhere else.
I agree. I mean, if they can afford it, yes, absolutely.
Would that be in all the schools then?
Why
not?
Paralicious on Twitter said she works with pre-K, and she said they do lockdown, which is they lock all the doors and go to a corner with all the students and have them be quiet with the lights off, so they're trained to know what to do if there's a, quote, mad dog going around.
Because I just think it's, you know, a lot of these guys, guys that do these school shootings, they suckers. So what they do is they go places where they know they're not going to get shot back at. Cool. So that's why they pick the schools and stuff like that.
Well, I think he probably was a student because he's a 15-year-old student.
And some of them were students that go to the school.
But you don't think he would think twice about it if he knew that there was somebody there that would probably shoot back at him?
Nah.
Yeah,
these kids have a problem. Like, they're going for revenge or whatever they're going for. I don't think they would care.
Mentally, something's wrong.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, you can hit us at any time. Yeah, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, and Kevin Hart was getting it off his chest yesterday. I'll tell you what he did to the haters. Also, Kobe Bryant, he got nominated for an Oscar, but I'll tell you what the problem is with that.
Okay, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, now LeBron is the youngest player ever to reach 30,000 points. He was the youngest to reach 5,000, 10,000, 15, 20, 25, and now he's the youngest to reach 30,000. He wrote himself a letter on Instagram. He said, "Want to be one of the first to congratulate you on this achievement tonight that you will reach." He did this before he reached his 30,000. "Only a handful has seen it too, and while I know it's never been a goal of yours from the beginning, please try to take a moment for yourself on how you've done it. The house you're about to be a part of has only 6 seats in it as of now, but one more will be added, and you should be very proud and honored to be invited inside."
I'll drop one of Clues bombs for LeBron James.
I ain't mad at him.
Did he tell his younger self that he will not have a hairline when he gets older?
I'm sure he did.
And that it's probably best to go bald?
Well, congratulations to him as he is reaching these achievements in his life.
LeBron, congrats to LeBron. Well deserved.
And it's also time for LeBron to let his hair go, by the way.
He is celebrating his win, and that's a win. So it's important to celebrate those.
But I'm just keeping the pressure on him, letting him know that he doesn't have a hairline.
This is a good moment.
Sounds like some
I know.
Hate.
Let him enjoy his moment.
There's nothing wrong with
that.
Let's
say, man, that's a huge accomplishment.
A little hate keeps people humble.
Stop it.
And so does the lack of a hairline. Trust me, I know.
All right. Now, moving on from that, Kobe Bryant, he got nominated for an Oscar for Best Animated Short Film for the movie Dear Basketball. But people are upset about that, and that is all because he was formally charged with raping a woman back in 2003.
Oh, stop it.
In the midst of this whole Time's Up movement, they feel like, why is Kobe Bryant being nominated? James Franco got shut out of the Oscars.
Roman Polanski won an Oscar, and when he was accused of sleeping with an underage girl and got found guilty and fled the country, he won an Oscar, actually. So stop it.
I'm just telling you what's going on in this world right now. People are upset for the fact that he has been nominated.
And didn't Kobe get found not guilty?
Didn't he settle? He was charged with sexual assault. The case was dropped.
The charges were dropped.
Yeah, and then she filed a civil suit, which he settled. He settled the civil suit, but the...
they can make a category called best rebound by an alleged rapist. Him, Ben Roethlisberger, who else could be in that category?
Yeah, but he was never found guilty, so...
Now, Kevin Hart is putting the haters on blast. Apparently, there were a few people that were leaving nasty comments, internet trolls, on his page. And he said, "Happy Turned Up Tuesday, people, on this beautiful Tuesday morning. I want to shine a light on 4 individuals that desperately need it. I choose to spread love, not hate, but these people choose to spread hate. These are the pictures of internet trolls. You should never get upset at what internet trolls say, because 100% of the time, they are not happy with themselves or their lives. Now, I could slaughter these people with a variety of comedic insults, but I'm not." And then he added them, and... he said, "P.S. I couldn't help myself. She looks like Arsenio Hall in the face. She has a pair of sweatpants that she made into a thong in her ass. That's pubic on his head. That's just too much face in that first photo. God bless. I love everybody."
Never forget, Kevin Hart is a cancer. Drop on the Clues bombs for all the cancer nation.
I love it.
Like myself.
Ain't nothing wrong with a little clap back every once in a while.
Man, Michelle.
And part of it was, you know, they posted a picture with their child. Very cute baby. And I guess people had some negative things to say.
Listen, Michelle Obama said, "When they go low, we go high." No, sometimes you got to take it to the floor with them. I keep trying to tell y'all that. In 2018, cut carbs, increase clapbacks.
When they go low, I block.
Yeah, I blocked it.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your Rumor Report.
All right, now when we come back, we got a chance to kick it with former Mexico president. We kicked him with him yesterday, so we're going to get
Vicente Fox. He's got a new book out called Let's Move On, Beyond Fear and False Prophets. It's a great read. It's a quick read, too.
He's not a fan of Donald Trump.
Not at all. We're going to talk to him about building a wall. We're going to talk to him about a whole bunch of things. So don't move.
DACA.
We're going to play a little bit right now, and then we'll play the rest of it after the mix. All
you got
right?
any so, tequila? Let's take a shot with him.
I actually do have tequila.
How you know he likes tequila?
Because a lot of Mexicans think it's healthy. Yes,
he talks about it in the book.
Yeah, he thinks it's healthy to take a shot of tequila a day.
Okay.
Read a book.
We'll get to it when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, yesterday, well, let's get in the front page new first. Yesterday, we got a chance to kick it with Vicente Fox. He's the former president of Mexico.
Yes, he was president from 2000 to 2006.
Now, I was kind of hyped about this because I've been watching El Chapo for like the last three, four weeks.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
What's all my guys for?
Oh, God, Envy.
Did you read the book, though? Because he has a book out.
He has a book called Let's Move On, Beyond Fear and False Prophets. And I think we should move on from your comments about El Chapo.
No, I was interested in El Chapo and how
all right,
the
well,
drug
what's interesting to me is that we're just coming off of this government shutdown.
I can't wait till they make the Christopher Williams I'll Be Show movie so I can say, you know, I'm sitting here with DJ Envy and I was thinking about him because I was watching the Christopher Williams biopic last night.
And one of the main things, though, is that I feel like Donald Trump has painted this fear of Mexican immigrants who are in this country and saying that they're rapists.
A lot of misconceptions about Mexicans.
And they're criminals and that we shouldn't want them in our country and he wants to build a wall. So here is Vicente Fox's response to Donald Trump calling Mexicans rapists and criminals.
What shaked me up and we say when he said Mexicans are rapists, Mexicans are criminals. Mm-hmm. There's hundreds of thousands of U.S. citizens around the world that migrated to other nations because they are looking for the dream. We have hundreds of thousands of them in Mexico. It's a picture totally, absolutely different to what Trump has described. And he has harmed us very badly on our economy, on foreign investment coming into Mexico, on tourists coming into Mexico, and else and else. I don't think it's fair. That's why I call for resistance, because I suffer the consequences, as we suffer in the world, the consequences of Trump's world policies and world aggressiveness. Imagine the day he pushes the red button and he throws a bomb to 40 million North Koreans, and then the same thing will happen with another 40 million South Koreans, and then Japan with 100 million. And what would happen here is it's stupid to think about war when you should be thinking about peace.
All right, and that's interesting because Mexico is our neighbor, so is Canada. But for some reason, we have some issues. Well, according to Donald Trump, he's created these issues with how we look at Mexicans. And he explains a lot in his book about the numbers and how the majority of Mexicans in our country are hardworking, honest people.
And if you just joined us, that's the former president of Mexico.
Vicente Fox.
Now, you know, I had to ask him about El Chapo.
We know, Envy.
Jesus Christ.
El Chapo works for some U.S. crime cartel. The headquarters of crime are here in the United States, and they import the drug from Colombia and Venezuela. They bring it through Mexico, hiring Chapos and other leaders to do the transfer of the drug from the south to the north. But they are not here distributing. They are not here selling. They are not here collecting the money. They are not here buying the guns and ammunition to ship them back to Mexico. The huge mammoth demand of drugs in the United States is what originates this.
And we supply the most guns to the Mexican cartels, too, as you stated in the book. We're the biggest gun suppliers in the United States to the Mexican cartels.
Absolutely true.
Well, there's your answer, Envy.
There was more. I've been watching El Chapo for the last 6 weeks, but we let him slide. Now, what else are we talking about?
The full interview will be on Breakfast Club YouTube page.
Yeah, and he also, like Charlamagne, does not believe that Oprah should be president of the United States, and he talks about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oprah Winfrey.
Correct.
Maybe one of the greatest women that I have known throughout
greatest
my life.
Greatest human beings, period.
Person, yeah.
Period. But I'm not sure that she will be a great president unless she would go the process of learning, experiencing, understanding what politics is all about. It's a different world, believe me.
And that is the former president of Mexico, Vicente Fox.
Yes, and that was one of my favorite parts of the interview, too, listening to his process of how he got into politics, because he used to be president of, I think, the Coca-Cola company.
Yeah, Coca-Cola,
I think
Coca-Cola company.
Yeah. He said his first stint in politics was as a volunteer.
Ballot watcher.
A volunteer for people at the voter booths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
He started from the bottom and worked his way up.
That's right.
Became a governor and then eventually became president.
All right, Celeste, what else did we talk to him about?
Oh, and you know, this has always been really important to me is protecting the dreamers who are here in our country and making sure that they actually get the same rights that we get. People who've been here since they've been 2, 3, 4 years old, this is all they know is home. And here is what Vicente Fox had to say about DACA.
This is stupid for a businessman and today a president to reject such a fantastic asset, such a great human capital, a massively produce 800,000 of them or a million of them. It's incredible. We wish we would have them, all of them in Mexico as of tomorrow. That would be great for Mexico. And here you're rejecting all that talent that you have invested very strongly on, and you just kick them out of here. That's stupid, the least to say on the side of Trump.
Those are just some of the clips when we had a chance to talk to him yesterday. Now, we go in depth about how he feels about Trump, how he feels about the wall, if he's going to use his, if Mexico's going to use their money to build the wall, and how he feels about the current Mexican president. So we'll play that after the mix, so just keep it locked, all right? I guess that's front page news, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we come back, Cypher Sounds will be joining us. Now, explain to the people who Cypher Sounds is,
Well, Cypher Sounds is a DJ, but not just a DJ. He's actually broken a lot of records. He used to be on a radio station in New York called Hot 97. Mm-hmm. And I actually started in radio alongside Cypher Sounds. He was the main host on Eminem's station, Shade 45 at Sirius, and I was his co-host. So we have a lot of history together, but Cypher in general has a lot of history, and he is now managed by Roc Nation. He has a show on True TV as well as other shows coming, but he got shafted at his old job, and he's going to talk about all of that.
Yeah, he was our competition, and we'll talk about all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Why nobody's making eye contact with me? Y'all mad at me?
No.
Where we at?
Because she's playing stupid. We have Cypher Sounds in the building.
Cypher Sounds.
It's been a long time, man. Y'all never invite me up.
He's
Thanks
no
for
longer
me.
Banned. He's one of those people that says you never invite me, but he also never reaches out or anything.
True.
He was like, how come you haven't come to visit me? I'm like, you've never invited me.
I'm bad at inviting.
Well, it's no secret that everyone on The Breakfast Club was a co-host at one point, and you're the
Correct.
First person that one of us ever did a show with to come up here. You and Angie.
Yes. Angela.
Used to do a show together.
Correct. Yeah, she's my, I hate saying mentee, but, you know, I taught her everything she knows, so.
Cypher told me that she was actually trash and that you had to work with her because she was so bad.
She was horrible.
It was awful at first.
Nah, Angela.
I never did radio.
Angela always been the best, yo.
That's not true.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
No. Talking on the mic, broadcasting, you needed a little polishing, but coming with all of the news and you knew everything what was going on, like, same like you are today.
So the story that I tell is when I first started, Cypher was upset because we were at Shade 45 at Sirius.
Yeah.
He didn't pick me. No. To be his
co-host. Who'd you pick?
I didn't pick nobody. It was the station wasn't even, it didn't even exist. We created the station.
Right.
So before we even started on air, Paul Rosenberg,
Eminem's you guys vendor, had already started.
We did?
Yeah.
Well, probably only like 2 weeks.
It was a brand new station, and I was in the hallway, and they were auditioning people. They wanted a woman to be on with Cypher Sounds.
We had other girls try out or something?
Yeah, they said other people.
I don't remember them chicks.
You talk about Shade 45, right?
Yeah, Shade 45. And so Paul Rosenberg actually was like, hey, why don't you, you know, they're looking for somebody, why don't you try it out?
Yeah.
And so that's how I ended up with Cypher on the morning show, and he kept saying, I don't know who this girl is.
No, I didn't say that. Shut up, yo.
And
I knew who you were.
Danny brought in Miss Info and did this whole thing, like, who do you guys like better? And I'm brand new at radio.
Damn.
Yes, you did. You don't remember none of this.
I don't remember that at all.
And
but it sounds like me.
Yeah. And then I was like, damn, that's kind of messed up. I'm up here with you and, you know, but.
Nah, Angela was always my girl.
Things worked out well.
Do you miss radio?
I'll tell you what I miss the most. Like, being on, like, on a Saturday for 2 hours just mixing, people going crazy when you're playing all the hot joints, calling up. You know what I'm saying? I miss that part of it. But the coming up with topics every day and the drama, I don't miss.
Well, let's explain to the people that ended at Hot 97 for me and Miss Jones. They hired you guys. Well, hired Big from LA, and
Big
then they
Boy,
hired you right after. And it was going well for a while. And I thought it was great because this was your chance because you didn't put your heart, blood, you know, missed family events, missed certain things for the radio station. And then
The Breakfast Club came
out. Happened to me. I was the same thing.
Well, first of all, I'll tell you this, give you a piece of advice in your life. No matter how much you dedicate yourself to a brand or to a corporation, you're just a number on a piece of paper.
Absolutely.
So one day, your number might be up. No matter how much you put into that company, how much your blood, sweat, and tears, which I feel I did, through the process of a couple of different GMs and then the company merging with another company and another boss coming in who didn't know my history and my pedigree, I got lost in the sauce a little bit.
Did The Breakfast Club come along yet?
We were doing good for, I don't know, 3 years. Then y'all came along. And then towards the end, they wanted us to do more drama type stuff, talk about artists and different. You know, I don't like that. It's not my thing. My thing is jokes. funny, crack jokes, make people start off their day happy vibes. That's just me.
Why do you want y'all to do that? Because they thought that's what we do?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Part of it. You know what I'm saying?
Brings everything back to the Breakfast Club. Go ahead.
I mean, it's part of it.
Yeah.
If that's winning, then they're like, well, what are they doing that's winning? So maybe we need to do more of that. And I wasn't good at it. Right. I'm not good at that. And then some power things happened, no pun intended, and people's jobs got shifted. I didn't know where my career was going, and I kept just getting moved down.
But you were also doing comedy, by the way. That's what I'm saying.
Listen, Hot 97 was 17 years of my life. Within that 17 years, I did mad other shit.
You were A&R?
Yeah, A&R, that Ruckus Records, at Tommy Boy,
didn't
Star
you break
Trek, Rockefeller. I helped break Rihanna, yes.
Pun the Replay, using the video.
I'm the DJ.
Pun the Replay, yeah. Like, Rihanna, like, yo, that's my problem with the industry, though, is because I don't brag, I don't boast. I just try to live my life, follow my dreams, and inspire people, right? The amnesia in the industry is horrible, yo.
Clips,
Rick Ross, Sean Paul, Rihanna, and there's records like Quiet Storm. Like, I was Lil' Kim's DJ. I broke Quiet Storm in the tunnel. Look at the remix. You know what I'm saying? Like, that don't just happen out of nowhere. There's connections. You know what I'm saying? I just feel people just forget. But I don't, is it my fault? Do I not wear the flag enough? You know what I'm saying?
That's what I think it is. I think people forget, or they just simply don't know.
A lot of them don't know. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if people don't know. I just get mad at the people who do know, who act funny.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all. Like,
I mean, because I knew about Rihanna because you was in the video.
Yeah, but the story with Rihanna is, like, I was in there from day one when they were playing me these records. Mr. Morgan, who now runs OVO.
Mr. Morgan.
Was friends with her producers and her manager, and they gave me the record, and I started playing it on the radio without... She was nobody.
Right.
Nothing. Then it went to Def Jam when Jay-Z first became president, and they almost didn't sign her. I had a fight with Jay to sign her.
Jay-Z?
Yeah.
Really?
I had to fight with him. Like, we was in the 40-40, and I was like, he's like, the song is big, but I don't know about her. I was like, I'm telling you. I didn't know she was going to be this big.
Right.
I just knew she was talented, you know what I'm saying? I introduced Jay-Z to Damian Marley.
Hold on, I don't want to run past Rihanna.
Let's go back to Rihanna.
The story always is Rihanna was in an office. It was Jay, I think, Tata, and L.A. Reid.
Yeah.
And they would not let her leave until they signed her.
Yeah. That's an amazing story.
So that's not how it happened?
True? No, it is true, but the part where she got into the office.
Was
you know what
I'm
saying? Like, I was not because of me. I never, it's because of her talent, but I had a part. Right. And people forget my parts.
Does she follow you on any social media?
Yeah,
she
Rihanna.
Thanked him. Okay. She thanked him before. She thanked
Rihanna,
him several times.
Rihanna's the one who didn't forget.
Right.
She gave me a big up one time on Instagram, like long.
She did, yep.
And put the picture where the day we met, like,
oh,
long
I think I remember
thing.
That.
And she was like, if it wasn't for this man, da 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 da, you know.
She's a real one, though.
She's super she's real.
I think Rick Ross, too. You were the first person I heard.
I remember
Rick Ross
that because I was there
broke
with
Rick Ross.
Yeah.
Hustling, yeah. Broke that record.
Talk about that.
I was down in Miami hanging with my brother DJ Khaled, who's now maybe like a cousin.
Cousin, distant cousin a little bit.
You don't answer your calls no more?
Nah.
He doesn't?
Nah.
Really?
Khaled, come on. Nah. So Khaled, that's messed up, Khaled.
He doesn't answer my call because I don't have his number.
Okay.
So you don't have Khaled's number?
I don't have Khaled's
Khaled
number.
Answers. Wow. Khaled answers. Khaled.
You don't have Khaled's Khaled number?
I don't, because I used to always call J1s because J1s is my boy, but he don't work with Khaled no more.
All right.
But I don't got no problem with Khaled. I love Khaled.
Does he follow you on social media?
He probably doesn't follow me.
No.
Is that what makes someone your friend?
You can DM him.
Let me ask you a question. Did he stop communicating with you after you got off the radio?
No, he didn't stop communicating. If I see Khaled, it's love.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. You haven't tried to reach out to him. It's not like he's...
I don't have a reason to. I don't have no problem with him. I'm just saying, when the first time Khaled was ever on the radio in New York was because of me. Ever. Like, I gave him a guest slot on my thing. But he says that, though.
Yeah.
It ain't like he don't remember.
I just hate how the industry acts funny when you're not on the radio. I've been fired 4 times, so I know. When you're not on the radio, they
nah,
just like...
but they do. I mean, listen, the day I left the radio, I knew half my life was gonna change because all the music industry people just like
people
literally write you off.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. I know the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I was already in my comedy world, so I didn't care about it.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm combining the two worlds and it's working out perfectly.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, we got more with Cypher Sounds when we come back. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Man, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Cypher Sounds is in the building. So tell us about Rick Ross. You tell us
so,
about
yeah, I was in Miami. Khaled played me the record. And, I mean, I brought that record home and went super bananas ham on it.
I remember.
And, like, this is when you could play records over and over. Like, really break, when the DJs could break records before we had handcuffs mm-hmm. on the radio. And I text Jay-Z. Me and Jay was doing a couple things. I texted. It was literally like either Christmas Eve or the day before Christmas Eve. I was like, yo, I hate to bother you during the holidays, but there's this record out of Miami that I think is going to be a monster record. You know what I'm saying? He wrote back. He's like, can you hit me on the 27th? Like, it's Christmas, right? Yo.
Fair enough.
I don't celebrate holidays. I'm a 5%er, so it don't matter to me. Like, mm-hmm. every time, that's why I got on the radio so much. When everybody took their little holidays off, I was there filling right. in because I didn't celebrate. So then I hit him before the new year. I said, yo, this is record. And I heard he yelled at all the A&Rs. Because at that time, everybody was recording in Miami, right? All the A&Rs were in Miami, all the artists, I mean, all the studios. And he yelled at his A&Rs, like, why are y'all all down there and nobody's telling me about this record? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then there was a bidding war, whatever, Rick Ross, and then he got signed to Def Jam.
Now, the story on that one is, Miff Bleek introduced Rick Ross to Jay-Z.
maybe introduced him personally.
I don't know if it was personal, but put him on to Jay.
Not the first time.
Miff Bleek would say, maybe I read this wrong, but he'd be down there a lot.
Yeah, he was down there a lot.
And he said he heard Ross, and he told Hov about Ross.
So the only people that know is me and Jay. I have the email somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But what do I care?
Right.
If me, Mev Bleek,
is it a big deal?
Yeah. Am I trying to prove a court case? Like,
but you were the one playing it on the radio and broke it on the radio.
On the radio, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Ross knows.
Even Clips record, the grinding record.
I knew that because Pharrell bigged you up for that.
Dude, I played that record in January.
And the record was confusing when it first came out because it was beats all over the place.
Yeah,
it sounded a little
crazy,
disturbing.
Yeah.
And that was one of those records.
I was playing that record since January. It popped Memorial Day mm-hmm. of whatever year that was. 01 maybe or mm-hmm. whatever year. So that's how, you know, from that I became an A&R at Star Trek for Pharrell.
Mm-hmm.
The whole second Clips album is all me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not all me. It's the Clips and Pharrell. I wrote Chinese New Year, son. But I was there. Like, I made, you know what I'm saying? I had a piece of the game.
Wow. Now, let's talk about your comedy. Now, you started doing stand-up.
Yeah, let's do this. Yeah.
Now, how did the stand-up go? What was, I seen a video today, this morning, of Steve Brown. He was doing comedy in South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody jumped on stage.
Yeah.
What was your worst experience doing comedy?
I never had nothing like that. But comedy is just built on bad experiences. Here's the thing. As a DJ, which you can relate to, I realize DJing and comedy is very similar. Because you got to read a room.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You got to get the vibe of the room. Did the guy before me just play all the hits?
Oh, right.
Do I got to set this mood up, restart, a lot of energy, or should I come in light energy? So that's why I was able to start comedy quickly, because I had all that talent. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, like, I mean, I would bomb horrifically, yo. Like, horrible, and I wouldn't go on stage for 3 months. It took me a long time to start, because it's just a horrible feeling. Like, people boo you.
What was your worst show?
I don't have any one worst show, but, like, in those first couple years, I used to do this spot called the Laugh Lounge, mm-hmm. Lower East Side. And people would just, like, you could hear, like, people eating their fry. Like, you know the paper that's in the plate under the wings? That's like...
Now, I'm going to be honest. You got fat man ears. Because I've never heard that in my life. I've never heard anybody describe that. Like,
but you never did. You never bombed, that's why.
So tell us about Laugh Mob's Laugh Track that's going to be on. That's on True TV
right
now.
I'm so happy you asked.
all right, well, Cypher Sound, we appreciate you.
Yo, Laugh Mob's Laugh Tracks is a show Bob Sumner created, one of the creators.
Bob!
You know, Bob Sumner is one of the
guy
who found all the comedians for Def Comedy Jam. Mm-hmm. Legend in the game. We take stand-up comedy. We take, like, a guy like Mark Vieira, who I think should have been a star years ago, and they tell these jokes, but their jokes are almost like stories. So then they shoot these recreations. So while a comedian's telling the joke, it cuts to like a sketch, kind of like a thing where they're lip syncing the joke. So it's like a music video for a joke.
Okay.
So think of a joke as a song, and this is the music video for that. So, I mean, it's doing extremely well. True TV is my new family. Don't do me dirty. Thank you.
No, they're good people over there. My
homegirl
Esther over there. I actually pitched a show that was similar.
You'd be loyal to them.
I pitched a show that was similar to Laugh Mob before I knew Laugh Mob was coming.
What do you mean?
And it was like, well, Cypher's coming with Laugh Mob.
What show you pitched?
I'll
tell you after the
there?
Yeah. But it was similar. But not with the joke part, though, but the storytelling part. The turning, reenactment part.
Stories, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to Cypher Sounds. I love the evolution of Cypher Sounds, and I love the fact that you are doing what you wanted to do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which is stand-up comedy, and now you have television.
Yeah.
And you're happy.
I got a bunch of other shows I'm pitching. I got another show on True TV called Rappers and Rides Running Errands. That's coming out in the summer.
That's dope.
I had my improv show Take It Personal very close to being,
greenlit.
Picked up. Yeah, greenlit. But it was through the Weinstein Company. So it went a little. We're finding out what's happening. It's on hold right now.
Nope, it's a done.
You can't do it, Cypher.
No.
Can't do it.
Not
I had
with
a show
him.
There, too. Oh, okay.
I had it with Hove. Hov was doing it with me. His deal was through the Weinstein, so gotcha. We're seeing what happens with that. But
we got so much in common that you have no idea about.
I do know. Oh, I study you.
All right.
I study how you roll, and you kept me out of MTV for some reason.
No, I didn't.
You hated on me, and they don't let me do anything at MTV.
Really?
I did.
Is that wait? Did you do that?
No.
Wait, I want to know the truth.
No.
Why does MTV hate me?
I don't know.
It has to be you.
It might
Wasn't you at Sucker Free for a while?
Yeah, before that, I mean, after that, since you came around, is it you?
I mean, if you can have me, why have you? I'm just saying. I'm just saying you asked. I don't know.
I'm having a great time, man. I appreciate any fan, any follower, anybody that takes a picture of my billboard on a subway and sends it to me. I really appreciate it, man. I'm just a guy from the Bronx that's trying to make a life for himself, man. So thank y'all so much for having me.
I do want to ask you one thing because we didn't ask about this. What is your relationship with Jay-Z? Because you mentioned him a couple times.
I love Jay.
Rihanna, Ross, like.
I know Jay since 97. I was on Little Kim's DJ. Mm-hmm. We went to London and Jay's DJ, I think it was Clark Kent, had a problem at immigration, couldn't get in. So Dame asked me to DJ for Jay at this huge festival in London. And ever since then, we've been super tight. Not Angela's tight with him more, I think, but he hired me. I brought Rihanna there. I tried to bring Damian Marley there. Then he hired me as an A&R for Rock La Familia. True Life was my artist. Mm-hmm. Nori, we had the biggest reggaeton song of all time, which Oye Mi Canto. Mm-hmm.
Featuring Nina Sky, yep.
Yeah, featuring Nina Sky. You're welcome.
Was Nina Sky your artist, too?
Yeah, Nina Sky was my artist, yep. Mm-hmm. That's me trying to, instead of giving it to other people, trying to do it for myself.
Yeah.
Biggest, number one hit. He signed me to Rock Nation as management. We was trying to do this TV thing. He gave me a job at Tidal. You know, shout to OG Juan, shout to Dez. Mm-hmm. It's just my family, yo. They're just a great family.
And why didn't Damian Marley work up?
You know what's funny? I just talked about it. Because I went to SNL when Jay was there, and he had Damian Marley. They did the song together.
Bam.
And I was like, yo, I just really, like, I forgot. I was like, you know I introduced y'all to? Mm-hmm. And they were like, what? When? I said, remember I brought you Welcome to Jamrock, because it was around Rihanna, Welcome to Jamrock, and one other
Yep, you did
thing.
Welcome to Jamrock.
Yep, and I tried to bring it there, and the Marley family shut it down. The Marley family was like, you're a Marley. You don't sign to rappers. You know what I'm saying? Like, back then. Like,
yeah.
And now, look, now he's partners at Rock Nation. Like, now Damian's on Rock Nation. I did a lot of things, man.
Start giving Cypher his credit, man.
That's right. And I always say one last thing with Cypher is the reason why I even got the job, because I was on probation working on the morning show with Cypher on the Cypher Sounds Effect, was because of the Jay-Z interview that we had. And that's when I got hired after that interview.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you was going so hard on that interview.
I wasn't going hard.
Didn't you talk about your hair catching on fire?
Yeah, we talked about
and Jay-Z saving you?
Yeah, we talked about him battling GZA.
Yes.
And we talked about a lot of things. And after that interview, I walked out and they were like, okay, you're hired.
Wow. Congrats.
You didn't know I wasn't getting paid, but I was working like I was getting paid, which
you
is
definitely
a lesson.
Were. Yeah, Angela taught me about Twitter. She taught me how to, like, I can't say
twerk.
That, but she told me, she told me how to twerk.
Twerk. What?
Guys, we gotta go. It's been enough.
All right.
If you want to see Cypher Sounds twerking, you get it next year. Now, we appreciate you for joining us.
Wednesdays, 11 o'clock, and then a whole bunch of other reruns, man. Please watch the show. A lot of young comedians making their name on the show, and a lot of dope actors that are in the recreation. Shout out to True TV, and thank y'all for having me.
Give Cypher Sounds his credit,
How do
man.
I get my credit? Let's talk off the air.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Yo. Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, once again, 50 Cent has made millions, and that is because of Bitcoin. He took a chance way before anybody knew what cryptocurrency was. And back in 2014, when he put out his Animal Ambition album, he allowed people to pay with Bitcoin. And that was they're saying that he pulled in about 700 Bitcoin in sales, which is over $400,000. That cryptocurrency was in his account for years, and they're saying now it's worth between $7 and $8.5 million.
No dropping the clues bombs for 50 Cent, damn it.
He didn't even know it was there. He forgot all about it. Now, that's crazy.
How much is 50 cents in Bitcoin?
I don't know what it's worth now.
Okay.
But Bitcoin's stock has shot up, so probably not that much anymore.
Well, you better cash out
soon.
But
if you would have put that 50 cents back then, yeah, it'd be worth a lot right now. All right, Jada Pinkett has some things to say about everybody hating on Monique for her Netflix boycott call to action. Now, Monique is saying this when people compared her to Amy Schumer, saying that's why Amy Schumer deserved $13 million and Monique deserved $500,000.
In 2017, Amy Schumer did a film called Snatch. That film made $45 million domestically. In 2016, I did a film called Almost Christmas. That film made $42 million domestically. Amy Schumer's budget for Snatch was $42 million, and it made $45 million. That's a $3 million profit. Almost Christmas budget was $17 million, and it made $42 million. That's a $25 million profit. Could somebody please make it make sense?
That is very manipulative of Monique. Post the ticket sales. Post how much Amy Schumer made on her last world tour, as opposed to what Monique is doing in ticket sales when it comes to stand-up comedy. That's what it's about. And I'm going to tell y'all something else, because I do want to see Monique get more money. You know Monique has a stand-up special on Netflix right now called I Could Have Been Your Cellmate?
How'd it do?
Nobody watches it. So how about y'all go watch it so she can have these screaming numbers when she goes into these meetings so she can say, you know what, my last special on Netflix did this.
Now, if you're boycotting, you can't watch it, though. So now right. You got to
pick boycotting?
It.
Netflix is on my remote.
She wants a boycott. Oh. She's calling for a boycott.
It's hard to boycott something that's on your remote. Netflix is on my remote.
All right, well, Jada Pinkett Smith is speaking out. She said you don't have to like Monique's approach. You don't have to agree with her boycott, but don't allow all of that to make you blind to the fact that non-white women and impoverished white women are underpaid, underrepresented, and undervalued everywhere by everyone. As a community, we should be supporting the light she is shining on this truth.
Why do we act like things don't have nuance? I mean, Jada is right. You know I'm a Pinkett Smith, Winfrey Knowles Carter, but not in this case. When it comes to Monique, it's about data. It's about ticket sales. It's about social media following. It's about market value. Monique has a special on Netflix right now called I Could Have Been Your
How
Cellmate.
How old is it, though?
It's been on there for years. Is. Y'all don't watch it. If y'all watched it, then she would have had that as leverage when she went in there to do negotiations for her Netflix deal.
But do we know what the numbers were for that? Because it could have did good.
I know Netflix doesn't release numbers, I thought, right?
Listen, man. Trust me, it didn't do good. I talked to people at Netflix because I did research about this because I was really confused. Mm-hmm. And when it came to Wanda Sykes, they offered Wanda Sykes this deal like 4 or 5 years ago. The guy that's in place right now...
She got less than half of what Monique was offering.
Yes, but the guy who's in place right now that does all the big stand-up deals, he wasn't even there when they offered Wanda Sykes that deal. He told me that they would definitely have Wanda Sykes some M's right now. Absolutely.
Well, Wanda Sykes, you heard it here.
That's what I was told.
Go get your M's, girl.
That's right.
Get your M's.
And I was told that this week. They said they would definitely give Wanda Sykes some M's right now. I don't know how many M's.
Right.
Don't quote me on that, but they say she definitely would be worth an M or better right now.
An M.
That's what they did say that, an M or better.
We just throwing the word M like it's light. M or better. That's a lot
of money. Sheesh. Yes. Yes.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Charlamagne.
Yes.
Who are you giving that donkey to?
Listen, man, I don't really know what's going on in the world anymore, but I woke up this morning and everybody's calling for Jay Holiday, so I did a little investigation. So I need Jay Holiday to come to the front of the congregation. We like to have a word with him. Y'all remember who Jay Holiday is, right?
He had that song Bed.
Yeah, put you to bed. Yeah, that song that people didn't like to hear during the day, back in the day. I've been doing radio for a long time, about 20 years.
That's
now.
Actually took the place of Pony as a male stripper song, because
really?
Every male stripper all of a sudden started dancing to Bed. I actually have some great footage if you want to take a look at it.
I'll pass.
But Jay Holiday needs to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him.
All right, Donkey Today's next is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed up.
So like a donkey? Yeehaw. Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot of my...
my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Get my Donkey of the Day slides, Steve. Get my Donkey of the Day slides. I got on Donkey of the Day slides, courtesy of iSlides. Now, Donkey of the Day for Wednesday, January 24th, goes to the artist formerly known as Jay Holiday. Now, I get emails every now and then asking to have Jay Holiday on The Breakfast Club. And at 3:34 p.m. yesterday, I got one of those emails. And the email said, do you guys have space for this interview? This rant is growing press under it. Can he clear this up and say what he really meant by the IG post? I had no idea what they was talking about, but I always feel like that's whack to me. You know, when a irrelevant artist wants to do a whole interview based off a rant they had on social media. If you had no buzz doing anything else, or if you was a star who had a buzz back in the day and you were trying to reheat those cold french fries that are your career by going off on a social media rant, I'm not interested. So I didn't even look at the attachment in the email, but as I look at it now, it was a picture of a man I assume is Jay Holiday. And the reason I say assume is because I have zero idea what this young man Jay Holiday looks like, okay? iPhone X face recognition fail ass boy. Now, you know your Uncle Charlotte not the highest grade of weed in the dispensary, so feel free to reach out to me on social media and explain to me why Jay Holiday is mad at the Grammy nominations. The only time you should be mad at Grammy nominations is if you are in contention for one. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Jay Holiday wasn't in contention for no Grammy, was he? He wasn't, right?
Mm-mm.
Now, the last and only time, that he was nominated for a Grammy was 2009 for his album Back of My Lack. I know you're thinking, all I know is the record Bed. Well, Bed was on that album. And he lost that year to the queen of hip-hop soul, Mary J. Blige. Drop on the clues bombs for Mary J. Blige.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar nominated. Now, I was thinking, okay, maybe Jay Holiday is writing for people, so that's why he's mad. Maybe a song he wrote was in contention and didn't get nominated, so therefore he didn't get nominated, so he's mad. But no, that's not the case. Jay Holiday just...
mad.
Yeah. So he decided to post the video on social media. I saw it on Baller Alert's page. Let's hear what Jay Holiday had to say.
So apparently, man, the black men still losing to the women. I get it. No disrespect. I was raised by a woman. I have two older sisters, man. I have absolute all respect for black women. But with that being said, understand this, man. Black men, African-American men, men from the hood, we go through everything to make sure that who we care about are taken care of. We don't swing our around. We don't do all this bullshit to be seen. I could be that over here niggas up. I know a whole bunch of little ass that sing that I could call their ass the out, but I don't. And understand this. I got daughters, man. Cardi, Beyonce, SZA, all y'all motherfuckers, stop using that pain to make it okay to say some bullshit on your record and get nominated for a Grammy for going through some bullshit. Because so have I.
All right, let's unpack this.
So don't use your reality?
Sheesh. Let's unpack
this. By the way, I thought it was Cat Williams when I saw the video. I was like, why is Cat Williams talking? Because he looks just like him.
First of all, I have no idea what Jay Holiday is really talking about, okay? He starts off sounding like he's still salty that Mary J. Blige beat him in 09 for the Grammy. Then he starts talking about black women singing about their pain. Since when don't artists of all genders make music about the pain they have been through?
That's what we relate to.
Yeah, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's because of society, whether it's tragedies in the hood, the foundation that most great black... you know, classic music is built on is pain. I mean, in fact, Jay-Z is nominated for 444. That album is about pain, the pain of breaking your wife's heart because of infidelity, the growing pains of being a father, a better husband, the pain of his mother having to suppress her sexuality and then smiling because she was free to be who she is. Like, it's all about pain. Kendrick Lamar has a bunch of Grammy nominations, and Kendrick talks about everything from depression to suicidal thoughts. Is that not pain? Here's the problem. Jay Holiday, in the words of my homie Amanda Seals, is one of those guys who likes Poom Poom but doesn't like women. Okay, Jay Holiday clearly has a problem with getting bested by a woman. Okay, you got to go read the caption on this video. Okay, Jay Holiday's caption on this video said, as a black mother effing man, yes, salty, I lost to Mary J. Blige. Negro, that was 2009. Get over it, all right? You didn't win in 09, okay? You should have did what another great black R&B singer said to do, and that's dust yourself off and try again, all right? R.I.P. Aaliyah. Then he put, I'm over it. No, you're not, because if you did, you wouldn't be making this video. Jay Holiday put hashtag pain wins, not talent. Hashtag don't support junkie music. Hashtag the weekend chick. Hashtag watermelon swallowing. Hashtag foreign poom poom. What are you doing to help? Because my daughters love y'all, but are not allowed to listen. That's the problem. Jay Holiday, when you are the author of a song called Bed, you are not allowed to be that hypocritical. My name is Charlamagne Tha God. This is my 20th year in this radio business, okay? I started off as an intern in 1998 in Charleston, South Carolina at C93 Jam. So I was around and very active during the Jay Holiday Bed era. I remember people being upset that record was playing during the day. Listeners did not think that record Bed was appropriate for kids to be listening to during the day. But it didn't stop the record, you know. But the same complaints you have about these young ladies, you know, sexually explicit lyrics, people had those same complaints about Bed. So my brother, what the hell are you talking about? And let's be clear, you said pain wins, not talent. No, talent wins. And Jay Holiday, you were not more talented than Mary J. Blige in 09. And I'm pretty sure you're not as talented as SZA and Beyonce now. It's not about gender, sir. It's about greatness. And in 09, you was good, but you weren't great. It's simple. And if you were great, my brother, where you been? Last time you dropped an album was 2014, Guilty Conscience. I don't want to hear you yelling from the sidelines. If you think you still got some skills, get in the game. Don't complain, compete. Stop telling me about gender and black man versus black woman, talent versus pain. Man, those ladies are working, and you are not simple and plain. Stop being one of those dudes who likes poom poom but hates women. Knock it off. Now, I'm only talking about this because I need content for Donkey today. But the resurfacing of Jay Holiday made me think about something.
What?
What are the top five most irrelevant holidays? Like, we all have the holidays that really mean something to us. I love Christmas. I love New Year's Eve. I love Valentine's Day. But there's some holidays that I don't give a damn about. So these are Charlemagne the God's top five most irrelevant national holidays. Number five, Groundhog Day. I don't give a damn about no groundhog.
That's coming up.
Okay?
It's February 2nd.
Look, I don't care.
And if he sees his shadow...
That's the only time. That's the only time I care. The only time I ever care is when I see the president do that thing where the groundhog peeps out and sees his shadow. That's the only time I care.
I thought
what
groundhog is when you're about to go to the bathroom and it comes out a little bit and then you suck it back in.
All right, I wouldn't even recognize a groundhog. Okay, I wouldn't even recognize a groundhog if I saw one in the street. All right,
groundhogging.
I would probably mistake a groundhog for a woodchuck, but I would recognize a groundhog before I recognize Jay Holiday. Now, number four, most irrelevant holidays. Mm-hmm. April Fool's Day. Bruh, there is absolutely no reason on April 1st for people to be falling for April Fool's Day's pranks. The jig been up. In fact, April Fool's Day is so irrelevant that nobody even bothers to do the pranks anymore.
I already had one planned for you guys that I've been planning out since...
I think we pretty much know when April Fool's
Day is. I'll wait
till
the second.
Pretty much.
Number three most irrelevant holiday, National Selfie Day. That's every June 21st. Selfies do not need its own holiday simply because people catch lice from selfies every day, B. All right. Number two most irrelevant holiday, Christopher Columbus Day. F that murderous bastard, Christopher Columbus. Only Christopher we acknowledge is Wallace. Now. The number one most irrelevant holiday. I need a drum roll for this one. Turn the drum roll up, okay? The number one most irrelevant holiday. Beating out National Talk Like a Pirate Day. Beating out National Peanut Butter Day.
Oh, wow.
Beating out National Hat Day.
Wow.
The most irrelevant holiday is... Jay Holiday!
Oh.
Drop on a clue bomb for that, damn it. What does Jay Holiday win? He gets the biggest hee-haw courtesy of Remy Ma.
Hee-haw, hee-haw, you stupid motherfucker, are you dumb? Wow.
Gosh.
Fight me when you see me, damn it.
I'm sure he will.
And you know it was just Winnie the Pooh Day.
Sure
you think
he
he's more irrelevant than Winnie the Pooh Day?
That's an easy one.
First of all, don't you ever disrespect Winnie the Pooh.
Well, you didn't come in here dressed up like him.
I dress like him at home. Red t-shirt, no drawers.
All right, there you
it's
go.
It's not a t-shirt, it's more like a crop top.
Well... Don't judge me for what I do at home.
All right. If you like it, we love it. All right.
Okay, Ezekiel Elliott in the bedroom.
All right. Thank you for that dog ear today. I don't know. Next up, Ask Ye. 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, call Ye right now. She'll help you out with all your problems. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Jesse from Reno.
Hey, Jesse, what's your question for Yee?
Hey, so I've been in a relationship with this girl for about 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And before we got together, I used to have sex with men. I consider myself bisexual. And I'm seeing, do I need to tell her about that? Because it's not like I would tell her about every girl I've had sex with in the past. But,
well,
you know,
I think
it's a different story.
You think it's potentially she could find out? I do feel like something like that would be something, if you are still bisexual, that she needs to know.
Yeah, and that's what I struggle with right now. So I don't know if that's going to change anything or not. And
because
I would never
imagine she hears
her.
About it from somebody else.
And there's always that possibility, but I don't know. It's probably just one of those things that's hard to do. It's hard to come to grips with to change the status of the relationship like that.
Not for nothing, Yee. If he wouldn't tell his ex about his ex-girls,
yeah,
why
but this,
he tell
but
his
this
ex
is
about
something
his ex-guys?
That he's grappling with because he knows that it's wrong that he hasn't told her. Because if not, it wouldn't even be a question, right? The reason that
that's
you're
true,
even questioning
you know,
whether or not you should tell her is because you know you should.
Yeah, and you make a good point. And, you know, when there's every time my mind, not every time, but like every other time, it's still thinking about men when I have sex or when I masturbate, whatever it is.
Charlamagne, grow up. All right, so, now,
you know,
listen, I think it's important for you to have that type of disclosure in your relationship because it's the type of thing that she may be able to accept and be okay with once you tell her, but if you don't tell her and she finds out and it seems like you've kept this secret from her and the fact that you are still bisexual is something, how would you feel if she didn't tell you something like that?
You know, honestly, I probably wouldn't mind too much. You know, like say she did eventually come to me in a year or 2 years and tell me about that.
But eventually you want her to tell you.
Yeah, I would.
All right.
I wonder how you know he's not bisexual. How you know you're not bisexual?
He said he is.
He is bisexual.
Oh, you're bisexual.
Yeah, he just said he's bisexual. But here's the thing. So if you know you want the respect of her eventually telling you, then you should give her that respect. And listen, she's going to know it's a difficult thing for you to have to tell her. Trust and believe, and she will at least appreciate the fact that you were honest. Now, what happens from there, at least you gave her a choice. So now she has a decision to make. If she has a problem with it, that's not the right person for you. But if she doesn't, and she's like, okay, I can accept this, and it's things that you're going to need to talk about with her, that's part of being in a relationship. Everything that you have to tell the other person isn't going to be easy.
Yeah, no, that's good. I appreciate that.
You gonna tell her?
Yeah, I'm gonna tell her.
Are you gonna tell her her jaws aren't strong enough? That's why you keep thinking about other men?
No, I'm gonna tell her she's missing a little piece that might make that difference.
And maybe she'll get a toy or something that she could play and put on and do you with.
Ooh, now that's an idea right there.
You never know until you ask, right?
Turning the Young M.A. on us.
I know. It's like Shark Tank in here.
It's like Shark Tank in it. I don't even know what that means. I don't want to know.
Well, enjoy, bro.
Right. The only shots you miss are the ones you don't take, right?
It's like Shark Tank in it.
Definitely.
All right, bro. Well, have a good one, man. Enjoy.
What does that even mean?
All right. Hey, that's like a lot of ideas coming all at once.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I thought you meant they smell blood like sharks in a tank.
That's very morbid. Thank you for that one, though.
You tell them. You ain't blooding yes.
Stop it. Ask ye, 800-585-1051.
Did you say ask ye?
I said ask. Ask ye, 800-585-1051. More questions when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. We're in the middle of Ask Ye. Hello, who's this?
Hi, it's CJ.
Hey, CJ. What's your question for ye?
So my question is, I've been in a relationship for about a year with a guy that I've met who was in prison.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering, like, how should I go about telling my parents? My parents are really conservative and really religious and really strict, so I don't know how to go about telling them.
So you met him while he was in jail?
Yeah.
How did that happen? I'm just curious.
We met online.
Okay, so it was like an online. What's he in jail for?
It's a long story, honestly, but he's been, as of now, in prison for 11 years, and he has like 2.5 more years left.
Okay, and this is somebody that you feel like when he gets out, you're going to keep on dating him, and when he gets out, you guys are in a committed, serious relationship.
That's the plan. I mean, we've talked about it.
Are you sure he's not talking to other people he met online also?
No, I'm 100% sure. He actually doesn't have access to internet. It was his sister who kind of like set it up, who was responding for him.
Okay, but you're not sure that you are his only person that he's talking to?
I think I'm sure. I go and see him, you know, every other week, and he told me that he isn't talking to anybody else.
Yeah, so your main thing is you know you want to be with him. You just want to break the news to your parents.
Right.
Girl, listen, at the end of the day, those are your parents, and they're going to love you. I get it that they're very conservative. And, of course, they're concerned about their daughter, as they should be, right?
Right.
And even as a friend, I would just be concerned about your feelings, about I don't know what this man did that he was in prison for.
It was like a combined thing. Like, it was three of them at the same time, and they all got charged with the same thing, just kind of guilty by association.
He should have snitched.
What is he charged with? I'm just curious.
Robbery, possession of a firearm. Firearm, battery of a police officer, and I can't remember the last thing, but
okay.
For all of that, he got 15.
Anything that a parent would be concerned about, because you would be concerned
right.
If one of your friends came to you and said, I'm dating this guy who's in jail, and this is what he's been charged with. He's been there for 11 and a half years, and he gets out in 2.5. Just anticipate when you do tell your parents, they are going to be concerned about you, and rightfully so, because they care about you.
Right, and I think my dad kind of already knows, because at first I was getting mail to my house, and he was just kind of like, cut that off. I don't want nobody in jail knowing my address and where I live.
Right. Yeah, I mean, listen, if you love somebody and that's an obstacle you have to overcome, I'm just saying you be careful and understand that your parents are going to definitely, certainly have an issue with it. So I mean, there's just nothing you could do about it. What can you do? They already, no, I'm sure they know. I'm sure they would prefer the circumstances were different. I'm sure you would prefer the circumstances are different. You also don't know if he's going to come home and be with somebody else or if something crazy is going to happen, because that happens all the time, too.
Right, and we've talked about that, too.
Right. So anybody could tell you anything, because trust me, guys in jail will tell you anything to keep you.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a matter of show and tell. So I think that once he comes home and you figure out what's going to happen, that's when you can really determine where your relationship's going to go, because it is going to be a period of time. He hasn't been home in a long time. A lot has changed in over a decade. Right.
So do you think I should just wait until he comes home? Like,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, I would, because you don't even know what's going to happen.
That's true.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you.
And be careful with yourself and your heart.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. Yee, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, let's talk about Travis Scott and Kylie Jenner. Now, according to Radar Online, he's been cheating on her, and now she is not trying to see him at all, and she's pregnant by him.
All right. We'll get into that when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Migos.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
All right. Well, the Migos are on the cover of Rolling Stone. And, you know, Torre was just up here. He's the one that actually did that story.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about that. And they talk about a number of different things like wealth, rap beefs, becoming a movie star, acting, directing. And Offset, of course, was asked a lot of questions about Cardi B, because how could you not, right? And he said, he talks about proposing to her in front of the world. He said he had to do that in a major way so she wouldn't think I was playing. He said, I must have spent $500,000 on that ring. Now, he talked about initially being drawn to Cardi B because he went out of his way to have a dinner set up in New York so he could meet her. He said, I was like, damn, I am on her. I'm like, ish, I like Cardi B. And he said their first date was the Super Bowl. And we all saw those pictures when they went to the Super Bowl together. And then a year after they met and had their first date, they're now engaged. And he said, she's real solid. She came from where I came from, did what I did. She's herself. I seen her develop from the trenches all the way up, and I like how she did it. I respect her grind as a woman. She came to the game with some gangsta-ish. I like that. I F for her. That's my baby. As far as the wedding, he said, we're not planning it right now. We chilling. We don't got time for that right now.
By the way, if your first date is the Super Bowl, there's no way to go but up. The bar is set pretty high, so you have to be engaged within a year if your first date is the goddamn Super Bowl.
Well, he got it. He's creative. He can figure some things out.
That's a very high bar.
It is.
Now, Quavo also talked about Joe Budden beef. He said, I never had no beef with Joe Budden. I always just been F him. It's no disrespect when I say F him. It's not like F him when I see him. Let's F him up. It's like a F him. I'm not bothering him. He ain't bothering me type of F.
That's how I feel about the Patriots. F him. No disrespect.
What the Patriots did to you?
They're not my franchise. That's what they did.
What they did to you? They didn't do nothing.
Joe Budden is not Quavo's franchise, basically.
No. I know that.
It is what it is. Right, and Quavo also talked about wanting to be a movie star. He said he wants to be a real major star doing things. I want to be a part of everything. In high school, I played 3 sports. And in the industry, I'm trying to play 3 sports as well.
I mean, why sleep on the Migos now? Okay, the Migos have over-exceeded all expectations. Mm-hmm. So why would you doubt them now at this point?
All right, now let's talk about Lonnie Love and Ciara. Now, Ciara had reposted Pastor John Gray, and people got upset about her posting this. Too many women want to be married, but you're walking in the spirit of girlfriend. Here was part of that sermon.
The other side for any of my single sisters is a guy. What is about, where, Lord, when am I going to be found, Jesus? I've been in here worshiping you, perfect in all of your ways, but I'm still single. Here's what the scripture says. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. Didn't say he that finds a girl that he's attracted to, who he then begins to date, who he then calls his girlfriend, who he then buys a ring, proposes, and makes her his fiance, who he then marries later, who becomes his wife. You're not a wife when I marry you. You're a wife when I find you.
All right.
I don't know if I agree with that, though.
Yeah, I don't agree with that either.
It's a process. Like, you meet somebody, you like them.
You got to get to know them.
You get to know them.
Right.
Like, you know, over time, you say if you want to spend the rest of your life with a person. You don't just meet a person and be like, oh, this is going to be my wife.
And a woman is not going to be just sitting there like, I have to make sure that I act like a girlfriend so he chooses me. Well, here's how Lonnie Love responded.
I'm saying in the African-American community why there is a shortage pool of available men. Why? Because of over-incarceration. If you are growing up in, like, say, the projects, there are not a lot of men. And if those men are getting overly arrested, they can't get a job, then that pool is limited. The root problem is, why aren't there enough available men so that women can get married? People want to be happy like Sierra.
I mean, there's still good men out there. The world is big. I mean, some people have exhausted all their options in certain cities, or as Lonnie said, the projects. But the world is bigger than the projects.
When's the last time you looked for a man, Charlamagne?
Well,
married.
I'm married. I'm out of the game.
Okay. Yeah. Out the game.
Come on, stop. I'm out of the game. You know he's not.
I married a woman. I married a woman because all the men weren't available. Okay, there's no good men available.
Well, lucky
so
you.
I married a woman.
Lucky you. It's hard out here.
This guy.
I know.
This guy.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
All right. Shout out to Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice mix is up next. And don't forget, after the mix, we're going to play our full interview with the ex-president of Mexico.
The former president of Mexico, Vicente Fox.
From 2000 to 2006, he was president.
Right. All right. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.